broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips? We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. As you know, we delayed the broadcast 1 hour, so now it's 8 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 10 to noon Eastern, 1 hour later than it's been for years. There's so many benefits to this. It's just wonderful. It's really good. It's better time for the folks on the West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, half, I guess Arizona really also. It makes a big difference, ladies and gentlemen. It's great news. So that's happening. And so that means that every Tuesday, the Sheriff Mac Show, which is a TV show on Brighty on TV, and Liberty Roundtable Live simulcast the broadcast. So it's on TV and radio at the same time. It used to be the second hour on Tuesdays, but now it's the first hour, which gives us more time to kind of prepare and transition between TV and radio, etc. It's really, really good. So Sheriff Mack and I were on TV/radio yesterday together, and we discussed the Sheriff Mack Supreme Court case win over Bill Clinton, and we talked about the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in America. Sheriff Mack also provided an inside look from Mike Lindell's Moment of Truth Summit that took place in Springfield, Missouri last weekend. We also talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia Republican, spoke. And she said, hey, all my Republican colleagues are telling me don't talk about election fraud. Don't. She said, you know what? We've got to talk about it. Amen. Folks, that's the problem is Kirk Crosby, well-known dear friend and former co-host, has highlighted this over and over. What is a Republican? Is it the Marjorie Taylor Greens? Is it the Rand Pauls? Is it the Donald Trumps? Is it the Justin Amash? Is it the Rahul Labradors? Who is it? Or is it Mitt Romney and crew? See, Mitch McConnell and those guys. We got a battle for the hearts and minds of the people and the Republican Party on right now. We also talked about when Mike Lindell took the stage, he rightly called to account / trashed the dishonest one-sided media lies. Good for Mike Lindell because he's spot on that. I've been talking about this forever. Donald Trump jumped in and started talking about it with me. Now Mike Lindell's joined me as well, and good for them because they're right as rain. We also talked about, hey, if you want to get the CSPOA, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association's SMS text updates, simply text the key letters CSPOA to the number 53445. Text the letters CSPOA to 53445, and that way you can get on the list. Archives of the broadcast are available on radio at lovingliberty.net and available on TV at brighteon.com. Check it all out. It's there for you. Free on demand if you missed the show. Second hour, quote, boom. Judge rules government cannot keep FBI raid affidavit secret. However, lets the feds propose redactions to some of the key allegations. Bob Unruh, WND.com, doing a phenomenal job with the report. But this is where the government is just dishonest as all get out. On one hand, they say, yeah, you're gonna have the affidavit. You're going to know what's going on. On the other hand, they're going to redact the heck out of it to where you won't really know what's going on. Then they'll say we released it, but it'll mean and benefit us not one iota. That's my prediction. I pray I'm wrong. We might get a little tidbit here or there, but not enough to really know exactly what the details are. They claim national security is at stake. They claim the investigations are at stake. Your government claims everything to keep it hidden, even though Donald Trump says complete transparency. There you have it. You'll probably never get to the bottom of this scandal. Hillary Clinton walks for her scandals and deleting of data and hard drives and all that kind of stuff. No problem. Bill Clinton walks after raping women. No problem. Nothing. Donald gets all of it dumped on him for everything, even though they've tried to pin the tail on the donkey when it comes to Donald for several years now, ever since he walked down the escalator. So far, no dice. But if they keep it up, they will eventually find something on the Donald. They will eventually find a way to put Donald in jail. I pray they don't, but I predict they leave him out of jail, but they do tamper with his ability to run in 2024. That's in question as we speak. We also talked about the Yankees fans' abhorrent behavior is nothing new, according to the New York Post. And my response to that is, look, the bureaucrats in high places and everybody else, look, as a society, we've got to hold the moral high ground. Bread and circus, like the Romans of yesteryear, was their downfall. It'll be our downfall, too. Why are we acting all out of control over a stupid game in the first place? Wow, the CDC quietly ends differentiation between the unvaxxed and the COVID-vaxxed populations. Why do they do that? Because they were trying to say that if you're vaxxed, you're better off than the unvaxxed. The problem is the scientific facts do not back that dishonest narrative up. The truth is the non-vaxxed have greater immune systems, natural immunity, than the vaccinated. Therefore, they want to erase the differences now because science is catching up with them, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully, we can really get to the bottom of the truth, which is unvaccinated people are healthier and have greater immunity, natural immunity, than do the vaxxed. But time will tell. They'll admit that way later after the facts. Remember who told you this first. We've been saying it all along. They've been attacking us, suggesting we were peddling fake news. They got caught. We've been vindicated. Enough said. Quadruple vaxxed Pfizer CEO. Guy's name is Albert Brulla. He tests positive for COVID, just like Justin Trudeau of Canada, Anthony Fauci of the United States, not to mention both Biden's Joe and his wife Jill. Most recently, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin also tested positive for COVID. That's for a second time on Monday, despite the fact that he was quadruple vaccinated as well. Many of us are starting to wonder if they ever even took the vaccinations. Maybe they did. Who knows? Time will tell. But what a disgrace that is. We also talked about the government database research. Researcher Brian Shalavi, he says, hey, the government database, the VARS database release reveals 10,000+% increase in cancer reports linked to the COVID vaccines. That's LifeSite News. Now, this is interesting, okay? The Adverse Events Reporting System, the VARS or whatever you want to call it, now has discovered a 10,000% increase in cancer. That's a result of, quote, experimental COVID-19 gene therapies. They lie to us and say they're vaccines when they're not. But they compared it to all FDA-approved vaccines over the last 30 years. And it's out of control. And he found big-time problems. 837 cases of cancer reported following COVID-19 vaccines. But he compared it to all FDA-approved vaccines for the previous 30 years and found only 140 cases of cancer. Bottom line is he concluded the increase showed that there were literally 29,700+ deaths and 247,000 adverse serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and July 2022. Well, I should say July 22nd, 2022. There you have it. It's hard to know how to even respond to this kind of stuff, folks. The evidence, the science becoming so clear, so direct. And all the folks that believed in the vaccines, believed in the narrative of the mainstream press, believed in the narrative of the government, now egg on their face like you could not believe. I mean, they're getting slaughtered on this one. The sad part is many of them in good faith believed, but they got snookered. The sad part is government is not your friend anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Government is becoming your enemy. Now you say, Sam, that just can't be true on a broad basis like that. I know what you think. I get it. But do you have another explanation? Oh, you think the government just made a mistake and they were wrong? Well, if that's true, then why don't they admit we were right? Why don't they quit attacking us, suggesting we're terrorists or a domestic threat? Why don't they quit abusing us and suggesting we're peddling fake news when we're not? Why can't they just accept the difference of opinion on something until the facts come out, huh? See, they slaughter us when it's opinion time, when we can't get the facts. But then when a judge releases thousands of pages of vaccination research and documentation, it turns out that we're vindicated and they lied. But are they going to be punished for shutting us down and attacking us over this fake news discussion when it turns out we were right and they were wrong? Where's the repercussions on that, huh? You can't sue the mainstream press because they can say or do anything they want. If you're a celebrity, well, they tell you I'm a nobody when they want to minimize the value of this talk show. But then they tell you that I'm a celebrity when they want to not get sued, that I'm so important that, golly, I'm a famous character. Will they lie on every count everywhere? All right, when we come back, I got some sad news for y'all. I'll tell you about it in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. You want to listen to the archives because you don't have time during the live feed. I get it. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, BrideyOnRadio.com. We got all kinds of places, baby. You can check it out. LibertyNewsRadio.com. Also, if you're one of the lucky folks with a radio station, terrestrial radio, AM or FM in your area, you can listen there as well. There's so many solutions for those who want news the networks refuse to use, ladies and gentlemen. There's so many solutions. It's just not even funny. 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, and then available on demand. How can we make it more available to you? Let us know, and we'll work on it. The podcast is available on Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Play, which is just basically everywhere. So check that out, if you will. Spread the word, share the love, tell your friends. I got a sad obituary, ladies and gentlemen. R.I.P. Michael James Badnarik. He lived August 1st, 1954 to August 11th, 2022. Our dear friend has passed away. Michael Badnarik, he was one of the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association's educators. He was a libertarian. He ran for president on the Libertarian Party. Just a stand-up guy, understood principles of freedom like nobody's business. You know, this phrase has gone around for a long time, and I don't know if I can give Badnarik credit for it, but he did repeat it, and I did learn it from him. He said, you know what? I just want to be left alone. Just don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. Just leave me alone. Well, that's been said by many libertarians, but I first heard that from Michael Badnarik, and I agree with the principle. Just don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. Just leave me alone. Anyway, we consider Michael a dear friend. He lived in Indiana for a long time. Then he moved to Texas for a long time. And a sad day to lose a patriot like Michael Badnarik. Rest in peace, my dear brother. All right. With that, according to a, quote, nationwide study, 39% of employees are working from home exclusively. And another 42% are embracing what they call a hybrid approach. What does that mean? Well, it means you come into the office some days, you work from home some days, or oftentimes you work from home in the morning, and then after all the traffic, you know, hours gone, then you come into work. So you might work, oh, I don't know, say 7 to 9 a.m., then go into work. And, you know, because of the drive from 9 to 9:30, you're not there, but you got a lot of work done before you came in, so you can avoid all the traffic. Or sometimes people will leave early. there's all kinds of unique arrangements that people are coming up with in the hybrid model. But what's interesting in my mind about this is when you put the 39% of people that now in America work at home exclusively and the 42% that support the hybrid approach, you've literally got 81% of Americans that are working from home now in some fashion or another. And there's some, you know, jobs that you just can't work from home. You know, for example, if you work in a warehouse, you've got to go where the products are, right? You know, there are some, if you're going to be in court, if you're a court reporter, where you got to be in the court, right? Now, they're even working out ways that their court reporters can work from home, too, to some degree. But there are places, if you work in a hospital, for example, you got to be at the hospital, right? So some jobs just don't adapt well to working from home. But think about that in America, ladies and gentlemen. What a sea change since COVID. 81% of Americans working from home in some fashion. 39% exclusively. That is a huge, huge number, ladies and gentlemen. And I bring all this up because we've been advocates of working from home forever. It saves money. It saves time. It saves gas. It saves on lunch. Oftentimes, if you work from home, you can just eat lunch at home instead of having to go out to lunch. If you're out and about, you need to do. It saves money on clothing because you can, you know, dress a lot more casually or simply if you work from home. There's so many savings. It's not even funny. You would think the environmentalists would have been all over this years and years ago pushing for working from home, but they haven't really stepped up to the plate very much on that, strangely so. But I think it's tremendous news that that many people are working from home. And I saw this on the KSL news site, one of the biggest news organizations in the state of Utah. But what an interesting study to point to, huh? All right. You know, the environmentalists talk and talk and talk. But ladies and gentlemen, they're all bogus. Why? Because they pretend they're for savings. They pretend they're for using less and making their, you know, environmental footprint smaller and all that kind of stuff. But it isn't true. Calabasas, California. Celebrities among, quote, worst water wasters, now officials say. A few key weird people literally got the slam because they've been wasting water big time, and they all got caught doing it, and it's now a big old story. Look, these celebrities and these rich people and these environmentalists and everything else, the Al Gores of the world, they all believe you and I should be shut down to third world status to protect the environment. But they certainly don't think it applies to them. That's the problem. Anyway, I did a broadcast on the environment quite some time ago. let's say 3 weeks ago, maybe 2.5 weeks, something like that. And we couldn't air it because we had a technical glitch. So now we're going to air that now, and we're going to play that, and then I'm going to come back and talk more about this environmental update, which I find fascinating, to say the least. Here's the commentary that was available then. Cam? You see, folks, even if they get their way, they're off their rocker. They don't have any good ways to fight climate change. Okay? Even if I wanted to make a difference, my difference is tiny. Well, Sam, don't you know tiny efforts by a lot of people become large efforts? Yeah, that's true. And I don't disagree with that, but I highlighted 18 ways to fight climate change last hour. And a lot of these, if you go search, how do I fight climate change, you get a bunch of these lists by these green groups and such. This is 10 ways you can fight climate change, Green America, for example. I quoted another one earlier last hour and highlighted what they say. But they say eliminate food waste, eat plant-based, use clean energy, participate in the democratic process, divest. The largest source of greenhouse gas emissions comes from fossil fuels. Improve insulation, use LED lighting, rethink transportation. Now, this is interesting. They say you can vote with your dollars for public transit. Like, that's a good plan. 9, you can recycle. 10, buy less. And then they talk about your green life. They don't have any real solid things that I can even do. Right? As far as I can tell, they don't really have anything that I can do that matters much. Right? Can I fight climate change? That's the question, right? Wow. It's crazy. I look at all these choices. What you can do to fight climate change. Here are the most effective things you can do to fight climate change is another one. See, this is all over the internet, folks. What's the most effective thing I can do, huh? This is published July 1st, 2022. I don't really see what they think I can do. They say, we believe in the free flow of information. Publish our articles for free. All right. Net zero emissions. All right. I want to highlight that. Net zero emissions. Because the first thing they say, ladies and gentlemen, is limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius above, quote, pre-industrial levels requires, quote, net zero emissions by the middle of this century. This means in less than a couple of decades, we need to reverse more than a century of rising emissions and bring annual emissions down to a near zero. To help speed this process, individuals have got to do everything within their power to jettison fossil fuels. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know what fossil fuels are. Do you? Do you know what fossil fuel even is? Oh, well, Sam, it comes from the bones of dinosaurs there. My response is, are you telling me that dinosaurs in the earth died and produced enough bones to run the Industrial Revolution? For what now, 100 years we're on? Hang tight. When did, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman on your radio. We're playing this climate change piece that I did discussing how bogus the climate change narrative really is and how the folks that are advocating for it don't even believe it applies to themselves. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden is expected to announce a student loan forgiveness program Wednesday. President Trump's financial guru, Steve Moore, on Newsmax last night.
Well, I mean, this actually is the nail in the coffin of the student loan program. We're going to tell people, well, you don't have to pay back your loans, but the people in the future have to pay back their loans.
Some primary results from Tuesday's elections. In New York, Democrat Representative Jerry Nadler soundly defeated Representative Carolyn Maloney. The two Democrats had to fight each other as New York lost a congressional seat due to people moving out of the state. In Florida, Democrat Val Demings strongly defeated all challengers and will have the opportunity to take on Republican Senator Marco Rubio in November.
With your help, I will be elected.
With strong help from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, Sarasota County School Board shifted from liberal to conservative on Tuesday. USA Radio News.
For eligible individuals 18 and older only, results vary. Audio effects do not simulate actual hearing aid experience. See website for details and important safety information.
How are your hearing aids sounding now?
A little tinny.
Okay, 2 seconds.
With hearing aids from Lively, everything is done remotely in the comfort of your home, from initial testing to adjustments.
How are they sounding now?
Fantastic. With Lively, you get premium Bluetooth-enabled hearing aids at thousands less than you might expect. Advanced hearing aid technology is now affordable and convenient. Your hearing aids are sent right to your door. And if you have any issues, we'll make adjustments 7 days a week for 3 years. No charge.
Oh, you people at Lively are wonderful.
With Lively hearing aids, you get free shipping, 3 years of follow-up care included free, plus a 3-year warranty with loss and damage coverage. You can't lose.
I hear better than I ever thought possible.
And now through Labor Day, get $300 off all rechargeable hearing aid models. Just go to listenlively.com. That's listenlively.com. listenlively.com.
A roughly 2-week search for missing 16-year-old Kylie Rodney came to an end Sunday when dive teams with a volunteer search and rescue organization said they found her body and vehicle submerged in water near where she disappeared. The body has been confirmed as that of Kylie. As the war in Ukraine by Russia's invading forces continues into 6 months, both sides are playing with fire and the possibility of a nuclear mishap.
The UN Security Council is looking at the troubling situation around a nuclear plant in southern Ukraine. Russian shelling has raised alarms about the possibility of a nuclear catastrophe.
Common sense must prevail to avoid any actions that might endanger the physical integrity, safety, or security of the plant.
UN Undersecretary Rosemary DiCarlo calling for military restraint and said the breach of the facility could have catastrophic consequences. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
All right, back at the live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about what is fossil fuels, ladies and gentlemen. They want you to believe that somehow all the bones from animals, you know, billions of years ago, are what we're using for our gas. It isn't true, ladies and gentlemen. That alone is an absolute blatant lie. Dr. Jerome Corsi, who we had on the broadcast just recently, highlighted this truth in his book about oil. Oil is created from the mantle of the earth. All right? The earth generates oil. It's not a fossil fuel at all. And that lie literally perpetuates into that's what they pushed as oil. Then they said, oh, now you got to get rid of oil and you got to go to this and that. But they tied the dollar to oil. See? Every move they make is a mistake. Every move they make goes south. Anyway, the discussion continues. Gas, vehicles. When did we start getting gas and these things? 100 years? They say we can make the change in three main areas. You ready? Avoiding consumption, shifting consumption, and then what they call improving consumption. In other words, making it more efficient. So think about that. That's their plan. That's the plan. What to avoid, they now have. By far, the most effective thing to avoid involves transport. Okay? So living without a car, avoiding long-distance flights. Don't let yourself be misled. Understand issues from experts. Taking fewer flights can have a significant impact on your carbon footprint. Think about that. What to shift? They don't go into more detail than that, but what to shift? Living sustainably is not just about giving things up. Large reductions in emissions can be done by shifting, doing things different. For example, the cost of driving is so polluting. Public transport, walking or cycling could have added benefits for your local health and the environment. Then they say, hey, you know what? When you farm sheep and cows, you got high emissions from the dairies. But if you have plants, sustainable diets, a total vegan diet is the best way to do this. But if you move from beef and lamb to pork and chicken, hey, it'll be all good. What to improve? Finally, the things that we do already can be made more efficient by looking at carbon efficiency at home. For example, by using insulation and heat pumps, or producing your own energy by installing solar panels. Anyway, then they go on. Folks, these choices aren't going to make any difference. They're not going to make any difference at all. Why? Because we're not even convinced that they're right on that we got to hold the temperature down. We also don't have any real fact-based evidence that our actions are increasing the temperature. It's what's called a scientific assumption at this point. It's at best a hypothesis. It's not maybe you could say it's a theory. It's not factual. But I'm telling you right now, this is what they're going to ram down your throat. This environmental wacko stuff. But did you hear what Ford did? What do they got that? What's that thing called? The Lightning 150? Is that their new truck, Cameron? Ford Lightning 150. They're selling that dude for like $39,000. And you got to wait like 3 years to get one. I kid you not. There's a huge waiting list for these bad boys. And not only do you got to wait forever to get one, but the Ford company just updated guidance on this. And they said, hey, because of supply chain problems, because of increased costs based on inflation, you got the Ford F-150 Lightning. Not only you cannot get it for 3 years or so, folks, because of a massive waiting list, but now it's going to cost you more. So they used to sell, the initial ones got sold, even though people aren't even taking possession yet. The original ones got sold at like $39,000+. You know what the new ones are? You ready? $46,000. You ready to buy at the bottom entry point a pickup for $46,000, Cameron? Cameron's not ready to buy one of those, man. See, he's not environmentally friendly, that Cameron over there. Wow. Think about this, folks. It's just insane. And then I speak out, and they say I'm just crazy. But think about that Ford F-150 Lightning. Now, I don't know if you know, but they have what's called the Platinum version. I guess that's just like fully loaded. It's got all the extras, right? How many do you think one of those babies cost? Any idea, Cameron? No, dude. You're going to get off scot inexpensive on this baby. It's only 97 grand, dude. Think about this, folks. The bottom line is the prices are just flat out going up. Ford just raised the price of the F-150 Lightning, says CNN. Ford resumes. They stopped even taking orders because they couldn't handle it because of the supply chains. Now they're taking new orders, but it's an increased price. Why does Ford have to hike prices on their, quote, F-150 Lightning? But yet the 2023 Chevrolet Volt price is concerned much lower than 2022. How does that work? Any idea? Now, they have two versions of this Chevy Volt. They say the entry-level Volt, they call it EV, starts at $26,595. Bolt, yeah, okay. They used to have some other car called the Volt or something. With DST, what does that mean? Do you know? Wow. They just have weird stuff on these things. You got to study to even understand them. They say while the Bolt EUV, $28,195. Do you know what the difference in those are? EUV and the EV. What's the difference with the EV and the EUV? Do you know? All right, this is interesting. Anyway, they got all these vehicles, so here's the deal. You will be forced to buy an electric vehicle, ladies and gentlemen. They are going to make sure you're forced to buy one of these babies. They are literally retiring old vehicles from the road. You say, Sam, how are they doing that? There's no laws. No, no, no. All they're doing is making sure that there's no parts for these products anymore. I believe the manufacturers have been involved in this for a long time. You're just being told about it now. But they are not making parts available. You go to a junkyard and you say, I need to replace an engine for like a 1994, Silverado 1500 or something. And they're like, we don't have one. Or, hey, to replace the engine, it's like $5,000+. It's so expensive to where you won't even get one. You won't buy one. You'll just say, no, because what if I have other problems with the truck? And you will, by choice now, we're going to force you to make a choice. You'll by choice, you will get rid of your old vehicle and retire it, and take it off the road, and then you'll buy a new vehicle. But I got a question. Are these new vehicles less environmentally taxing or less hostile to the environment than the gas vehicles? Is that really true, ladies and gentlemen? Or is it worse? By the time I create all the expensive capabilities to support electric vehicles with the big batteries, the charging units, all that stuff. I got to have charging units all over the country too, or else when I drive 247 miles and run out of juice, then what? So you got to really ask yourself some questions. Is it really more environmentally friendly? When I then dispose of that vehicle now, is it more intense than a gas engine because of all the battery technology and the da-da-da-da-da-da? And how about to build all that technology in the first place? At the end of the day, is it really better or does it just seem better because when you drive down the street, there's no emissions? I submit to you that the emissions aren't gone. They're just now in the creation and the destruction process, or whatever you want to call it, the discarding process of owning an electric vehicle. That's where the emissions hit. The in-between, it doesn't hit as hard. But how much will they then tax you per mile or tax you per what to drive these vehicles, right? Will we get more and more toll roads? What will be the result of all this? Any ideas, Cameron? I think they're going to force us. Yeah. Is an electric vehicle more environmentally friendly than a gas vehicle is the real question that you got to ask yourself. They want you to believe the answer is yes, right? But I don't know that I believe it, right? Then a gas car. Ask yourself that. Is the electric car better than a gas car? Which one's better for you, electric versus gas cars, huh? they say that the EVs have a longer warranty on the car, up to 100,000 miles or 8 years of coverage, usually 50,000 miles. Overall, they say the lifetime maintenance cost for a gas car could be as high as $9,200. That number drops to half that for the other cars. Do you believe that? Yeah. I don't know that I believe all that. Where do we go with this? Will we get a choice? Now, other people are saying reasons why gas cars are better than electric. Yeah, electric cars have a long way to go before they're considered superior to gas vehicles. Right? It's all a big debate. But it's kind of like, and the reason I highlight this is it's kind of like the climate debate. Are we really that bad for the climate? Are electric cars really better? Everyone wants the best range. Distance matters. How long will it take to charge your car's battery if you get this new car, Cameron? They say fast charging stations can charge a 30-minute car to 80% capacity, which even isn't even close to a full charge, by the way. Right? Wow. Electric car prices may skyrocket. Right? The problem is that they have tax credits and all kinds of things to buy these electric vehicles, making us falsely believe that they're cheaper than they really are. They say electric cars emit no O2 for the atmosphere. But they're not void of fossil fuels, folks. Right? How are you going to get this all done? What's the primary source of electricity in America? Do you know? Look, let's say I charge my electric vehicle. How is that electric vehicle going to get charged? Any ideas? This is serious. Any ideas? When I charge my electric vehicle that has no emissions, they claim. Forget the emissions that it takes to build the vehicle in the first place, and forget the emissions that it takes to properly, get rid of those vehicles, recycle those vehicles, whatever word you want to use. But when I charge my car, what am I using to get that electricity? What's the source? When we come back, I want to talk about that for a minute. What's the source when I charge my electric vehicle of electricity? Do you even know, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think you do. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Producer Price Index program measures the average change over time in selling prices received by American producers. Prices for everyday necessities remain at...
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure why it's playing the news. I swear, I thought I cut that all out of the file. I must have somehow missed that piece, but I swear, I thought I cut that all out of the file. Anyway, long story short, Cameron's going to see if he can't advance it to the right spot here. You should just have to advance it if it's got that clip, basically 3 minutes, Cameron, and then we can kind of start it back. I thought I got that out of the file. Wow, that's weird. Anyway, I apologize for that, but we're talking about this climate change issue, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's kind of a crazy show. A couple weeks ago, we had a show that then we had some technical difficulties, but we saved the recording that I did. And so we wanted to air it later because it's so relevant to some of the points that I've got to make today on the broadcast that I wanted to really be sure that I covered all those details from the previous one. So anyway, now here's the continuing of the interview. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm asking you, what are the sources for electricity? All right, when I go charge my electric car because I'm super environmentally friendly and I got my latest Bolt or my F-150 Lightning there, if I can even get my hands on one of these babies, I charge that sucker up at the charging station at my house or wherever else. Where am I getting the electricity for this? You want to know? All right, I'll tell you. Fossil fuels are by far the largest source of energy for electricity generation. Let me say that again. Fossil fuels are by far the largest source of energy for electricity generation. Natural gas, for example, was the largest source at about 38%. Think about that. 38%. Okay? Coal, about 22%. Now that alone, ladies and gentlemen, is literally 38 and 22, as far as I can tell, is 60, right? 60% of your electricity right now is already still fossil fuel. So if I fill up my car, the pump, with gas, I'm using fossil fuel. If I go and plug my car in, I'm still using the $64 million answer, fossil fuel. Do you read me, ladies and gentlemen? So you're being lied to about the reality of this. You just are. Now, what other sources make up the rest? 19% new energy, is that what they say? 19% nuclear energy. So you can decide if you like nuclear. I'd bring a whole lot more low-powered nuclear plants on if it were me, but they're not doing that either. That's bad. That could create Chernobyl and everything else. It could be disaster. Wait a minute. 25% petroleum? 0.5% petroleum. All right. What are the new energy? What makes up the other 40%? 20 of it's nuclear. Renewables are 20%. Wind, hydro, solar, biomass, geothermal, fine. How do you make the wind turbines and the solar panels? Do you make that with electricity or not, you think, Cameron? You got to make it with electricity, don't you? Yeah, and what the electricity fuels that? Do we go back to natural gas and coal? Around the world, they say, 37% approximately, fossil fuels, right? Look up fossil fuels. What percent of the world's energy, right? Right? It's amazing. When you really start to dig into this, you go, okay, Forbes says fossil fuels still supply 84% of world energy. Look that up on Forbes. June 21st, 2020. All right. Worldwide, what percent is renewable sources, Cameron? You got to take it out of that 14 or 16% left over, right? Folks, fossil fuels make up 84% of the global energy market. Now, the next question for stupid people like me would be this. If that's true, if fossil fuels still supply 84% of world energy, according to Forbes, then can I even make a dent in this in my lifetime? Is it really even possible for me to do anything about this? Say I get solar panels on my house tomorrow. I don't even know with my solar panels how much energy I'm saving. Because when you produce solar panels and then when you attract the sun with solar panels? How much hotter does it make it near me where I'm at? How much increase of temperature will it be if I have a solar panel? In other words, an attracting sun device on the top of my house, and I'm literally pulling in the sun, so to speak, right? Will it make my house hotter, do you think, or colder to do that? You got to wonder these things, folks. You got to ask yourself some questions. But will these other countries even comply and do this as well? What percent of these countries even have the finances or the ability to make this transition, even if they wanted to? In other words, even if we were all environmentalists, even if we all completely agreed with the solutions, is there money to make this kind of transition? 84% of the world's energy is still literally fossil fuels. And in America, it's 60%, right? And even the other renewable percentages use fossil fuels as well, right? Like, you don't, when you talk solar panel or when you talk wind turbines, you're not out of fossil fuels entirely. Just to build those things and to properly discard them takes fossil fuel, right? So even these energy sources that they're claiming have these percentages of use, are they counting the crank up or the build, the installation, and then the, quote, discarding or recycling or whatever of all these along the way? And how does that figure into it? I don't know. But I look at this and say, this is insanity, folks. But that's where we're headed. You want to know why? I submit to you that it's all about the Great Reset. This is not about saving energy. This is not about being good stewards of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a reality check. Fossil fuels. I don't believe there's such a thing, but if you buy that lie, or no matter what you look at it, using oil and natural gas and other fuels, it's literally 84% of world energy usage, according to Forbes magazine. Biden's, quote, great reset by stealth on climate change is what's really going on. It isn't about the environment. It's about them controlling us. All right. So we talked about this Calabasas, California. The celebs are among the worst water wasters, experts now say. All right. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say to you. Kim Kardashian, Kourtney Kardashian, Kevin Hart, Sylvester Stallone, and Dwayne Wade, the well-known former NBA player, all used in excess of 1.4 million gallons of water in the months of May and June. They received notices from the Los, I don't know how you say this, Los Virginies Water District concerning the excess usage. That's according to the LA Times. The review of documents that they acquired through the California Public Records Act is where they got the information. So what are these big actors and actresses using so much water for? Answer, they don't believe that it applies to them. It only applies to you and me. You see? For example, Steven Spielberg's private jet usage hints where his heart lies on climate change. The fact is, they're all for ratcheting you and I down to third world status. They're all interested in creating the Great Reset along with Joe Biden, turn us into a third world nation. But they still want to have their elite lifestyles where it applies to me and you and not to them. It's a shame, ladies and gentlemen. I've got great news, though. Anthony Fauci says he's going to resign from the CDC. Well, we better not let him get away with resigning before we criminally charge him for his evils in office, if you will. I'll tell you that right now. All right, 1 hour in the can, second hour coming up. I'm Sam Bushman. God bless all of you. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate liberally, would you please? God save the Republic of the United States of America.